Welcome to Switchfoot Song Stories, a fan-run and operated podcast, not affiliated with Switchfoot. After this podcast, make sure to check out Tyler's book, Searching for Seven, The Journey of Seeking God 7 days a week. It is filled with stories and scripture, it's an easy read with short chapters, but it's also thought-provoking and encouraging at the same time. The book takes readers on a journey, helping us search for God and for our faith, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or head to the book's website, searchingforseven.com.
All right, welcome back to another episode. We have the incredible Grace Graber with us on the show this week, another amazing artist who has been heavily influenced by Switchfoot. Grace Graber is the voice of a rising movement full of people who believe that both faith and mental health matter. Grace, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, you said my name right.
Good.
I love it. People always do Garber, Grabber. I love it. I'll you can call me anything. Just don't call me late for dinner. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, so good to chat with you. I've been loving the music, everything you've been putting out. You've had a couple singles this past April. So last month, you've doing amazing work for, you know, as a mental health advocate. What else are you up to these days? What do you have coming up in the near future?
Well, I mean, we're working on a full-length album, so all of these releases are essentially feeding the algorithm and just trying to prepare for the drop of my debut album. I've never done a full-length. It's been a doozy. It's been a lot of work. I am fully independent, and this is just me and my friends, playing off of my story and just trying to make something happen, and it's been working. So we're just having fun over here. It's become a lot of work with the album. So getting ready to release that, hopefully June is when it'll drop. Right now, who knows? We're in the middle of mixing. I will be doing something special this summer. So also keep that in the loop regarding like early 2000s CCM. Keep an eye out for a certain anniversary and a certain artist, and you know, I mean, what else do I have going on? I work a 2 full-time jobs. I, you know, volunteer at my church. Like I said, like it's just me and my friends, and we're just kind of like, okay, this is working. So fully pure, just me. Social media, just me. All of the, and so it's been a whirlwind. But oh my gosh, talk about Switchfoot. When you reached out, I was like, ugh, my childhood nostalgia. And then I had to go through all your episodes to see which song has not been covered.
Yeah, that gets tough as we go here. But then again, they do have so many in the catalog that there's always like, oh, this one hasn't been done yet, so you can dive into that one. But
I mean, it helps to have a big catalog, right? Like, it helps to, man, but we're not too far gone on the track list.
That's right. I was going to ask you about early 2000s Christian music, because you and I both have this connection to that era. You know, that's like my exact timeline of getting into Christian music. So Beautiful Letdown era, you and I both have a connection with Hawk Nelson, early Hawk Nelson, others for me, like Cutlass and Falling Up and early Flyleaf and early Jeremy Camp, and just like the list goes on and on. But like, what's your story and connection to that era of music, and then where did Switchfoot kind of fall into that?
Well, where did Switchfoot not? They were literally the heroes of the bands that were my heroes. You know, like no one really thinks about how far Switchfoot has like gone back, and like bands that like now Switchfoot is opening for is like opened for Switchfoot. And so no one really realizes like how deep like John Foreman go. Like, I mean, they were before the generation that changed my life. And so when I was a teenager, I was physically and verbally assaulted by other girls in middle school. And it got so bad, physical and verbal, that I developed PTSD and depression and became suicidal. And it was a Hawk Nelson song that actually stopped me from committing suicide. It just, like, everyone always asks me, how does a song do that? It just popped in my head at the right time. It wasn't playing on radio. It wasn't playing anywhere. It was truly just right time. And that song just could not get out of my head. Just like all the Switchfoot songs we're going to talk about today. it just couldn't get out of my head. And I just, something sparked in me in this understanding. Like, I felt understood and seen. And these guys were talking about feeling alone and that I wasn't alone and that they knew exactly what I was going through. And then I became obsessed. I woke up the next morning like, what on earth? I was not planning on being alive. So who do I have to thank? And I looked up the lyrics of the song and found it was an old Hawk Nelson song, and then started watching videos of Jason and videos of Family Force 5 and videos of Switchfoot, and back when YouTube just became a thing. Yeah. And they could put out content that made you feel like you were in the van and made you feel like you were a part of the tour, and people would post videos of them performing. And I was so afraid to go outside that I would just sit there on my family computer and just consume early CCM 2000s media. I would consume, and my whole life turned into that. And then I got comfortable to go to concerts, and I was like, oh my gosh, these people are so nice. Why are they so nice? And that's when I really discovered who Jesus was for myself. And it's like, if these guys are so great, if like people like Switchfoot are like so nice and great, and they talk about their faith and they're really leaning, I should probably lean on that myself. And so it was like early influencer, right? Like early influencer days, like the Really Real Show with Family Force 5. I'm sure you remember that, but that was like influencing before influencers were a thing. That was TikTok before. For me, I would watch those over and over again. And it's really interesting how things evolve and things aren't as big anymore. Like, anyone can get viral, anyone can do anything. And so there's like this non-special, like, it was so special to me back then, you know, because it was, I only knew about it. Everyone who knew me knew I loved Jason. Shout out to Jason. He knows I'm obsessed with him. So sorry. But as far as Switchfoot per se, Switchfoot was always the band that like those bands were opening for. Switchfoot was always like the, everyone wanted to be like Switchfoot. And so truly thinking about where Hawk Nelson was and Tooth and Nail and like all of that, like I think of that and I think I have a lot to thank from Switchfoot. I have a lot to thank in them pioneering a wave of Christian music that saved my life. Still it was Hawk Nelson, but like I do have a lot to like thank for, like, if I ever saw John and like in Nashville or something, I would thank him and be like, I feel like, and the same way though, I feel like Switchfoot is underrated. Is that weird to say? Like, I feel like they have a ton of fans and a big following, but I feel like they're still underrated. Like, yeah, they like people don't realize like how much of it, but I think that's also comes from being in Nashville, being in the CCM world. I think that also comes from like everyone wanting to be the new fresh thing. And so all of the old nostalgic things kind of get pushed aside, or they don't see it as valuable. I think that's why they're underrated, is because they've built it. They can do whatever they want. They're in the background, you know? And same with Reliant K. Like, Reliant K is still doing things. And they're, I mean, I went to their show 3 days in a row when they were in Nashville. Went to every single one, up front, crying, you name it. And I still felt like, wow, they pack out a room, but I don't hear their name around town. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't hear their name in a room full of, like, label execs or whatever. And it's not that, it's just that these people are trying to recreate that hype. And it's just, unfortunately, it's never going to happen. Like, I it's not like there's never going to be a band like Switchfoot. There's never going to be a band like Hawk Nelson. I always tell people, I don't want to be Hawk Nelson. I want to be Hawk Nelson's little sister. You know, like, I want to be the little sister version of like this. That was them. And like, they sound so different from what I do. I purposely don't want to sound like them every single, like, mm-hmm. but it's kind of like that, again, that influence. And I think that a lot of the Tooth and Nail bands, all of that took influence from what Switchfoot was doing and Five Iron Frenzy. And like, people don't realize like how much was happening. And then even Jesus Music, sorry, I could talk about this for hours. Even Jesus Music, if you watch it, it's like, those bands, no one talks about them anymore, even though they're iconic. We only talk about Toby Mac and all that. Like, but those bands were iconic in structuring the way Christian music has evolved into say whatever you want, you know? So, anyways.
For sure.
John Foreman, now he can, that man can say anything he wants, and I will listen to him.
Yep. I agree. As you mentioned, Family Force 5, I went to like a ICFUS festival in Kentucky, and they, like, the promoters kept begging them to stay, and they ended up doing 4 shows in 2 days. It was like their normal set, and then midnight, like 12:30, 1 a.m., you start hearing their little tones, and they came back on stage, and it was just like, you know, huge. Wow. But yeah, I completely agree with the influence side of it. I mean, a lot of the artists we've had on this show, whether they're closely related in sound or genre or not, they always refer to Switchfoot and others as like the pioneers of like, you can sing about life and faith and you can be a true artist. And, you know, they got that from those guys, which is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I still go into a room today and people reference people that it's like, but here's the thing is, controversial opinion here. Here's the thing is you get these bands that sound like that and the industry will tell you, well, that's not working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone is coming into the room asking to sound like that band.
Yep.
Anyways, that's all I can. I get DMs all the time, like telling me about Flyleaf stories or Hawk Nelson stories. Dawn Michelle is one of my, I love her. She's one of, I would consider her a mentor. I look up to her a lot here in town. And like people reach out about them and it's like, these people, I watch them live their regular lives.
Yeah.
And like, it's like people remember you, you know, like, my mentor and worship pastor is actually David from Run Kid Run. Fun fact. Not to like name drop and brag, but I call him dad and I will name drop and brag on him all day because that was one of those bands that was so, them and Sidewalk Slam were so monumental in the CCM realm back in the day, but he's just leading worship on Sundays and mm-hmm. he's so content and no one like, and he understands that that was back then. It's just really interesting then to come into his world and be like, this made such an impact, and for him to go, I thought everyone forgot about that, you know? And I don't know. It's really interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot of bands that have broken up years ago that I'll still try to find a way. If I see them on social media, just to send them a little message of like, hey, I still listen. I'm still impacted. You know, what you did in those years has stayed with me all this time, just to give a little encouragement. And, you know, sometimes they see it and respond and are flattered by it. So it's really cool. Really cool thing. And one of my claim to fames is I was in a small band in college and we opened for Fireflight one time. So that was fun.
I walked into that girl's door and I started singing her song first time I met her. And she was like, please stop. She was like, oh, God bless you. And then she sent me home with some sourdough bread. That's mom. I love her. I love her.
We had a show because I was also in a promotions company. We had a show with them later on. That's, I think, right after Unbreakable came out, and she was fighting a cold and she's like, I don't know if I can do it tonight. It's such a high notes in there, but she did it. She pulled it off. It was amazing.
She's doing acting now. Fun fact, she's starting her acting career. And, you know, the Family Force guys, I haven't met the Family Force 5 guys. I met Jacob once, but it was like super, I was like stunned. I was like, hi. And then, but I know Fatty. I know his name was Fatty. Joshua. I know he mm-hmm. follows me on social media and will comment every so often. And I'm like, you know, I exist. And I freak out. I could talk. It's like people don't realize they didn't, one thing Jason always says, and even I met with John Steingard recently, we finally became friends, and they weren't doing it to make an impact. They were doing it because it was fun. They weren't trying to do any of that, and it happened. And so it is a really good lesson of, like, if we feel like something feels like irrelevant or like not that important in the time being, or feels like, oh, it's just a fun, you just don't know what God's going to do with it. You know, like, same with John. John Foreman has been playing writing songs for way before that he even started music, right? So it's And his son's band. I love his son's band. Anyways, there you go.
Is that Tim's son? Right? I
think it's Jet. One of the guys is. Yeah.
I think it's Tim's son, John's nephew. Yeah, he is rocking out. That's going to be awesome to see his career unfold.
It sounds just like Switchfoot too.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like early. Okay. Yeah. Yep. I love it.
Well, whenever we have artists on the show, I like to ask this question. Let's picture you're on stage with Switchfoot, like kind of the end of a tour, and there's two songs left, and you are going to sing a song with them, one of theirs, and you also get to pick one that they're going to cover of yours. What songs do you pick?
Oh. Oh, no, I have to. I feel like Dare You to Move is like everyone's There was one I came up and I almost asked you if we could do it, and then I saw that you had already done it. Let me pull up there. Switchfoot. I have the switch that comes up. Do you remember the switch?
I don't. What's that?
They were an old early.
I remember the name.
This Is Your Life is what I would do.
Yeah.
This Is Your Life. It's a mid-tempo inspiration. Like, that's always like the one that like makes me think about dreaming. This Is Your Life. Are you who you want to be? It makes me like contemplate. Mm-hmm. And then if they could cover mine, I think that's hard because I don't sound like Switchfoot. If John Foreman could cover anything. Oh my God. I don't even
remember. They covered Beyonce once, so they can cover anything.
I feel like it'd be fun if they did This One's For You. Like I did a Switchfoot version of This One's For You, like I did with Jason.
Yeah.
That would be really, I think that would be iconic. And I think it'd be more, and I think John Foreman could really pull that off.
Yeah. This One's For You mashup.
Perfect. What if in like, let's say 20 years, everyone's still alive. Everyone still has their voices. They sound a little old, but they still have their voices. What if Grace Graber does like a 20-year anniversary of This One's For You? All of the bands come up out of the grave even to do this and participate. But the kick side is, instead of the bands actually coming out of the grave to do it, I just do the version, like the Switchfoot version, but it's all me. Anyway, sorry. That would be so funny. That would be funny.
I'll hold you to it. 20 years.
Okay, this is what I think Family Force 5 would do with this song. This is what I think Switchfoot would do with this song.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of droning little acoustic guitars in the back, and then like over to the corner, a little lead line.
There you go. Well, the song we're talking today from Switchfoot, I'm very surprised we haven't done it yet. To me, it's an all-time classic. The song Gone off the Beautiful Letdown album. I love every single thing about this song. I can't even say enough about, you know, this particular tune because it's fun, but has meaning, takes me back, makes me think about life. There's so much to it. But for you, what connects you to this song?
I pulled up the lyrics. What connects me to this song is, well, I like any camp I was at, this is a song they would play in the background of like the best moment of camp. Gone like yesterday is gone. But I just pulled up the lyrics. And when I tell you, I found this song. I was going through all these and I was like, okay, I do like Gone. I saw that you hadn't done it yet. I was like, oh, but I love this. She told him she'd rather fix her makeup than try to fix what's going on. But the problem keeps on calling, even when the cell phone's gone. Ah! He's already talking about cell phones that early on. I just love the kind of like superficiality to the, I did a song called Superficiality, and like, I love kind of beating the superficiality of like, don't stay so long. Don't put it off. Like, don't spend today. And it kind of makes me think of the verse of like, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow mm-hmm. has its own worries of its own. And it's like gone, like yesterday is gone, like history is gone. Just try and prove me wrong and pretend like you're immortal. I can't tell you how to this day mm-hmm. we act like we are immortal.
Yep.
And so I still, when I read these lyrics, because I kind of, when I heard him say that, I turned on the phone the other day and I heard him say, she told him she'd rather fix her makeup than try to fix what's going on. I can't tell you how many times I've been that girl, you know, like I can't tell you how, oh shoot. Like, what am I prioritizing in life? And John's really good. I think his theme is prioritization. Like he's, mm-hmm. his theme of like just any song is, what is the priority? What is the meaning here? Dare you to move. We mm-hmm. were meant to live for so much more. Like gone, like, that album specifically is the album that I know Switchfoot as. The new stuff, I love Joy Invincible, I love the new stuff, but that, I feel like that was the album that set the pace for Christian music going mm-hmm. forward. And then, we're not infinite, we're not permanent, nothing's immediate, we pretend like we're immortal, we're so comforted in our accomplishments, look at our decadence.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, hello. Mm-hmm. I was talking with my therapist yesterday, and like I treat social media like that. I know I do, and I know if I'm doing it, everyone else is doing it too, because it's a very common thing to treat like that's what matters. We're gonna live forever, so look at your phone and don't pay attention to what's around you. You know, mm-hmm. like that's not what this is about. Shameless plug. Can I give a shameless plug?
Yes, go okay. for it.
I have a song coming out on May 24th with, drumroll please, P-Bod. I love that boy. I am such a big fan. I was a fan before I started music. So I've only been really doing music for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I was just a fan and then everything overnight blew up. But we have a song coming out called No Regrets. And it's the idea that like the first line is, hey, you're telling me it's a way that it's got to be, that the hustle and bustle of life is about what radio likes. I'm confused because isn't there more than news? And what about our churches and families building community? Like, that's what matters. Like, mm-hmm. and John seems like, I'm sure you've met him. Like, he seems like the kind of guy that you want to get mentored by, or is just down to earth, will kind of give you a different perspective, especially through his lyrics. I mean, he seems very profound, or probably he's probably just a simple man. Like, profound and simple is the vibes he's given me.
Well, I can't wait for that. That's going to be a good one. May 24th.
Yes, thank you.
You mentioned the verse about don't worry about tomorrow. Some other ones I thought of when it comes to gone is just like, how we're here today, gone tomorrow, how our lives are like a mist. And I think it's in Psalms, it says, teach us to number our days. So I don't feel like people reflect on it enough. And a song like this, I think Switchfoot's entire catalog and history, they've done a great job of letting their fans know that life is short. Let's live it well. You know, let's love people, let's serve people. And I think if we recognize that more, that life is temporary, so I should focus more on what matters and less on the things that are kind of fleeting, I would be in a lot better position. And I think this song obviously echoes that.
Well, Tyler, what it makes me think of is us right now, right here, right now, right? Like the death of Mandisa has really got me thinking, and reading these lyrics, gone, like Frank Sinatra, like Elvis and his mom, like Al Pacino's Cash, which is so funny. Nothing lasts in life. Like my high school dreams are gone. My childhood sweets are gone. Life is a day that doesn't last for long. Life is more than money. Time was never money. Time was never cash. Life is so much more than girls. Life is more than girls. He says that twice. I wonder if he was going through something. Life is more than $100 bills. It makes me think of like the next generation is coming up. Mm-hmm. And we are doing our industry a disservice in not pouring into those who are coming up. We're doing a disservice holding on to what we think the industry should look like and not what is God doing in the industry. I think of social media and this whole influencer wave of like, there's a lot of Christian music influencers happening right now that label and industry have never had to deal with it. And I think like one day those people and labels in the industry, one day, controversial take, one day Toby Mac is gonna die. Not tomorrow. God hope not tomorrow. But I've been saying it is one day the standard of whoever gets to decide the standard. And I'm not saying Toby Mac decides the standard. One day that standard will be gone. Mm-hmm. One day will be that generation.
Yep.
How are we going to act when we're treated a specific way? Or how is that going to shape if we're not like – you and I partnering on this, that's awesome. I'm going to remember this forever. And if you do something in the music industry or something else later, like we're going to be friends. We're going to know each other. But man, think about how you treat people then. You know, like you don't know. Yeah. You don't know. And I think John Foreman is really good at like kind of like kicking you in the butt and going, dude, this doesn't. And back then, like to be able to say that, it was kind of like a sticking it to the man. Where mm-hmm. who put out that album? It was released through Sony. Okay, so it wasn't BMG. It was Sony BMG. Oh, just Sony. So it wasn't released with a Christian. Wait. Oh, they did a. Oh, they played Gone as a medley with Beyonce's 20,000. Crazy in Love. That's funny. But it had a peak of only 27 though on the U.S. Christian Billboard charts. So it wasn't even like one of their most popular songs, but it got a Wikipedia page. So it was not in a, even though it was not an official mainstream radio single, they didn't even want it to go to radio. It was number one on Christian contemporary radio. Interesting.
And it's got absolute staying power because they still do that one live a lot and people go crazy every time.
What's John Fields up to nowadays? Oh, he's doing Jonas Brothers now. Demi Lovato?
Yeah, he's got a huge, huge list of top-notch artists that he works with.
And do you think, though, John Foreman knew that about him going in? You know, like, do you think about, like, all these people we grew up to? I don't think they didn't know that all of this was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, they just did it for fun.
Yeah, that album, they mentioned on this past anniversary that they recorded that album thinking this might be our last one. So we might be done after this. And then it actually was the catapult of the career.
Whew, that doesn't preach to me. I don't know what will, because it's so hard. It's hard being an artist, especially independent and doing something more in that alternative rock space. I can't imagine like I have more resources now than they did then. Like I talked to David from Run and I always tell him like, how did you manage this? He goes, well, we didn't do that. Like we didn't have that back in the day. How do you manage it? Because that would have actually stopped us from doing it. So it just really tells you God has perfect timing with these people and perfect timing. Obviously if that album is what catapulted them and they thought it was going to be the last, then I need to surrender.
Also love the end of one of his paragraphs about the song, and I think I referenced this in a recent episode, but I couldn't remember what song it was, and it's actually gone. He said, to sum up what the song is about, it's a fun, catchy tune about how we're all going to die someday. Life is so short, live well. John Foreman.
Simple, honest, pure. Yep. John Foreman.
Yep.
Love that man. John, if you can hear me, we don't know each other, but your dad, and I appreciate you.
What about the line, "Hey, Bono, I'm glad you asked"? I had to look up what he was referring to there. But I know some of the fans know. I've seen it in the a Switchfoot fan page before. But in the live version of U2's Bullet the Blue Sky, Bono has a line where he says, "Well, the God I believe in isn't short of cash, mister." So I don't know. It wasn't really a question, but it rhymes better in the song for John to say, like, life is still more than girls. Life is more than $100 bills. And then it gets the line of life, you know, actually, what's the line? I'm blanking now. Brings us closer. Every day we borrow brings us closer to a God who's never been short of cash. Hey, Bono, I'm glad you asked.
You literally quoted that while I was looking at the lyrics, and you got that.
Nice. Woo!
Number one Switchfoot fan over here. What I love is that she said, he said, as a songwriter, doing something like that, he probably came up with that really simple and easy. But that is like one of those, like, oh, I wish I could write a song like that. Like, I wish I could. He said, she said, you know what I mean? Like, I love this song. Life is more than fame and rock and rolls and sales. And like, also, here's the thing. If now that I think about it, like, if they were recording this album thinking it was going to be their last, they just gave it to the world. They said, frick this, we're done then. Well, we're going to say it. We're going to let it out. And guess what? Now everyone's trying to mimic that.
And I never really put it together, too, this particular song, if that was the case with this album. Like, one day everything's gone. So it's like,
who cares?
Here's a song about how we're all going to die. So, you know, like, tomorrow or yesterday is gone. My high school dreams are gone. Childhood sweets are gone. Yeah,
thinking about, like, this, like, I have a lot of friends who make Christian music and turn them in and go, can we release this? And they go, no, it's too much of a love song. It's too much of this. It's like these guys just were like, oh, okay, we're gonna just give it to them because we're gonna stop this anyways. And who knows? And then it's like, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's really odd. I look at it and I kind of wish I would have come up in that time. But I also know, like, I know my purpose in life is to kind of be a catalyst to regenerating that. So I look at it as kind of like encouragement. When I look at Switchfoot and look at this album and look at these lyrics, and now that I know that, I'm going to hold on to that all day. I'm going to be thinking about that all day. I didn't know that fact, but man, how much am I holding on to? How much am I just white knuckling fist, like, holding on to when it comes to music, and as an independent and as someone who I only have myself to stand up for myself? I'm a female in the Christian music industry. That alone is a little hard. So being a female in rock and being a female who's an influencer, oh my gosh, like, it kind of makes me want to go, wow, this is a breakthrough moment for me, Tyler. Oh my gosh. Like, it makes me kind of like want to, like, okay, what if I did release my new album and these songs, like, it was my last time? I could choose never to do it again. I really can, you know? I don't have to continue to doing it. But the point is don't minimize what you have to give. Don't minimize the lyrics. Don't minimize just saying, hey, we're going to die one day.
Yep.
There's no one in Christian music saying that. In fact, uproar when Mandisa died. What? We didn't think it would ever happen. Like, it's like, it's kind of shocking. And I didn't know her. Art, rest in peace. I love you, Mandisa, wherever. Well, I know she's in heaven. She's praising. I can feel her spirit. But it's like, what are we doing? I'm about to go to an event after this, and I'm kind of going to go in like, John Foreman kind of like blew my mind this morning. And he wasn't even in the room.
Yeah, you made me think of the next record, that song Daisy, Open Up Your Fist. This fallen world doesn't hold your interest, doesn't hold your soul. And some encouragement for you. Maybe the day before your full length comes out, have your celebration the night before. Instead of waiting to see, how does it do? What are the numbers? What are people's reactions? I've heard this said, I think it was Annie F. Downs on a podcast. She said that when she would write a book or something, the day before she would celebrate, because this is celebrating like the obedience and the art and the creativity. And like, I felt called to do this, and whatever happens with the numbers and all that is not in my control, but I'm going to celebrate before it even comes out. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool too, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like, yeah, no, that's encouraging. And that makes me like, that makes me excited just to celebrate as we're working on it too. Mm-hmm. And just already feel so much excitement about that. And, cause it's really exciting. Like I did a video like for myself later on in life. I was like stressed out. Oh my gosh. Like, we have this much to do left on the album and this much money left to spend. And I took a video and I just said, hi, I don't know what's about to happen and I don't care. Just remembering this moment. Okay. Bye. Like, you know, like, you just don't. And Hawk didn't know. Switchfoot didn't know. And I think that's the beauty. That's the beauty of life. Oh, well, that's the beauty of grace, is that it makes life not fair. And what's cool is the grace of God is so, it doesn't have to make sense. And it doesn't make sense to me now, but I know God's going to do something big in the Christian music realm in this next wave of music. Have you heard of the band Hopeful, actually?
Yeah, we had them on the show.
Oh, dope. Yes. Yeah. No. So they're very much like in your realm, that Switchfoot vibe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just this new wave of Christian music that no one knows about. Or it's one day the viral people are going to be so done with it, you know? Mm-hmm. So yep. Yeah. Anyways, they're just going to come running back to us.
Yep.
You know, just there you go.
I love something that Forrest Frank said recently. You know Forrest Frank? He's from.
Do I know Forrest Frank?
I figured you would know him.
I wish I knew him, but like, no, I think I have. Yeah. I know who that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they asked him though, they said, what do you say to people who would say that, you know, faith-based music is cheesy or lame or whatever? And Forrest looked at him and smiled and he goes, give us a year. They're like, oh, really? He goes, yeah. He said, I'm already seeing it, but soon, whereas Christian music sometimes was kind of behind the curve with some of the trends, people are going to be coming towards faith-based music as, and the way they're being creative with it in like life lyrics and all that. And it's going to kind of flip. And he's one of the pioneers. I mean, every 2 weeks he's got a new bop out. So love it too.
If you think of it as well, like K-Love, shout out to positive, encouraging K-Love, who never played Switchfoot songs. So can we get that change? Did they ever play Switchfoot?
I think maybe Joy Invincible. I think,
well, shoot. Never mind. Sorry, Caleb.
Not as much though. Not as much.
Not as much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're holding that. No. Well, Caleb is pioneering their app. Like, streaming is becoming the primary way of doing things, and radio, as much as there are, yes, millions of passive listeners, they're not listening fully. And so, well, I love Caleb doing this app. They reached out to me and my team and we're like, we want to add you to like the alternative rock station. We want to add you to, and it's like, that's going to change things because kids are going to want Spotify and Apple and all that. And the parents are going to go, no, you only got to get your Caleb app out, you know, like they're going to say that and they're going to find Switchfoot,
yep,
Nelson and Grace Graber. they're gonna find the wave. And I think the people I know who work over at Caleb, those people, they feel it and they want it too. Like, it's not a secret that the industry wants to change. Mm-hmm. It's just hard for the people who have the financial the people who are in charge of the industry, it's hard for them to accept and listen. And yeah. So there you go.
Did you happen to hear the Owl City cover of Gone?
I was about to just say, like, can we do the Owl City like version? Can we play that?
It was so good.
Owl City. the city of owls. Birds everywhere. Oh my gosh. Dayglo yeah. on that album. I freaked. I'm a Dayglo girl.
Mm-hmm.
Through. But Owl City, yeah. Wait for Adam to come back and go, I'm gonna be on the Switchfoot record. We haven't released a song in a while. My dream is to be on like a version of that. Like, hey, we're doing an album and like we want you to cover the song and be on the I may or may not just be forcing that later on this summer. So we'll see how that goes. So just, you know, follow Grace Graber if you're a hot fan. But you know. Yeah.
That collab, that was one of my favorites from the album because it's got that vintage Owl City sound.
Oh,
and then, like, wait, they're doing one of my favorite
childhood. Yeah. It's like putting a cookie in a cake. You know, like I love the taste of cookies and I love the taste of cake. Oh my gosh, this is insane.
Yep. Well, Switchfoot's been such a soundtrack of my life, not just with their music, but their words, their actions, their what they stand for, how they treat people, all that. And I know you're doing a lot of those things for a whole bunch of people right now. So keep up the good work. You know, when it comes to your career and all that you stand for, what advice, what encouragement would you give to anyone out there who may be struggling or anything you'd like to share as we wrap up?
Do it. Just do it. Like that. Like the best thing I ever did was just get off my butt and figure it out. That's how I gained my career online. That's how I've done most of my things is just, okay, like if they're doing it, I'm just going to learn how to do it. And I'm just going to do it anyways and do it and suck at it. Like seriously, like suck first, get the suckiness out of the way. Yeah. Everyone starts and they are terrible. Like my SoundCloud demos, we don't want to listen to those. Hopefully they no one has a Grace Graber story podcast and goes through that. That would be horrific. But like just do it. Get up, sing what you want to say. I'm working on like a side thing that's gonna be non-Christian, and there's just something so freeing in being able to go, I'm not gonna limit myself. I'm not going to filter myself. I'm not going to try to write in a lens of this is what this person would say. What do you want to say? And that's going to be a practice in itself for just learning how to love yourself as well. A lot of this career has been, oh, shoot. Like I'm known for one of my biggest weaknesses, which is my diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And people say, change that. You should like share that with the world. Or why aren't you saying that Jesus healed you? Because he hasn't. Like I'm healing, I'm on a healing journey, but he's walking through it with me. And I technically still have my diagnosis. I technically still may take my medication. And so don't let that make you feel like you can't do it. Use your biggest weakness and that will be your strength. Our weaknesses is his strength, right? Okay. And I also want to address the comment section on one of my videos talking about his weakness is our strength. He died on the cross. He was beaten.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of interpret that as kind of like weakness, wouldn't you say? like I kind of take it as like him experiencing like human stuff is like the probably a very like compared to God, of course he was God, but he was also human. He experienced the weak parts that we experience now. And guess what? We use that as our strength now. And so take that, use Jesus as the example of just going down, meeting people where they're at, being who you are and just going through with the plan, like just go through with the, you don't know, salvation will happen. Lives will be saved. Lives will be changed. Yep. And maybe your life will be changed. Maybe it doesn't matter if other people's lives are changed, but it matters that your life will be changed.
Yeah.
That's what
maybe redemption has stories to tell. I believe it does.
I love that. John Foreman, have you heard that line? Can we get you to write a song about that? Thank you.
Well, thanks a ton for coming on. Looking forward to new music and the summer stuff that you're teasing. Everybody follow Grace online, and let's continue to change lives and do what you do with creative art and inspiring the world. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tyler, for having, seriously, thank you.